This is Paul. My way.
Yeah, you did. So welcome everybody to 2.0 of Core. Core 2.0, we're calling it today. And I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, who just triumphantly returned from Anaheim, California. Not Anaheim, I guess Orange County. Where'd you guys end up going, actually? Where was the place? What was the city?
Irvine.
Irvine. So you're right in Irvine. Were you on, were you in Blizzard campus?
No.
No?
We went to Laguna Beach.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much debauchery I haven't been told about yet.
There's pictures, though.
Okay. I'm excited about this. There is pictures. There's pictures of you guys on some kind of love couch. Bo is taller than I thought he was going to be. That's just what I wanted to mention.
Yes, I'm not. I'm exactly as tall as you'd expect.
It's just right for me, Scott.
All right.
And I asked him the question, you know, do you want to do some mom and dad stuff? And he said, no.
No mom and dad stuff? All right.
He said, no mom and dad stuff. So we just got our picture and that was that. But, you know, we had a lot of fun. If you don't know what we're talking about, go check out Scott's Twitter feed or one of ours.
Yeah, or one of them. And Bo Schwartz or John_Jagger. Wait, is that what your thing is now? Yeah, John_Jagger. So those guys, these two chuckleheads, went to Irvine to a very special Heroes of the Storm summit. And for at least a couple of days there, you had a lot of sworn to secrecy moments because, you know, there was a lot talked about, most of which is now out and people have seen it. But that must have been a hard day and a half where you couldn't talk about this 2.0 phrasing or what's going on with, I don't know, loot boxes or a billion other things we're going to talk about today. So I'm just curious, what was that like keeping it in? Was it like holding the fart in church or what was it, Bo? How was it like?
Honestly, it was pretty easy because we didn't have to hold it in for very long. And we had I spent the whole 2 days meeting new people, making new friends, meeting some really rad people, and then being tired as shit on the plane on the way back with, you know, I don't want to body shame anybody. It's not about that. It's more about United Airlines. Seating me next to someone with a wingspan of like a billion miles and is halfway in my seat. I had the most uncomfortable flight home. So all I could think about was getting home.
Plus
I went straight to the couch and fell asleep.
Plus it's like 4 or 5 hour flight to where you live from Irvine, right? You're on the other.
It was two flights. So from here to O'Hare and then O'Hare to Ottawa and 6 hours flight time. And with all the traveling, it's probably about 8 hours. So 8 hours Sunday, 8 hours Tuesday.
Gee Louise. In and
out, baby.
Yep. John, on the other hand, is down there in freaking Phoenix, Arizona, just hop on a plane an hour and a half later. Not even that. Probably an hour later. No. I guess you have to wait, right? You got to wait in the airport and do all that TSA stuff and everything. But still, it's a little short. It's like me. It's not hard to get into Irvine. So how was your flight on the way back end too?
It's pretty good. I did fall asleep at some point. I am not entirely sure if I made a scene while I was asleep. When I woke up, my mouth was open.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure what happened, but nobody was looking at me. So I think I'm safe.
All right.
And it was mostly good. But the only thing I got a little cagey about is, as you may know, Scott, I've been talking about loot boxes since BlizzCon.
Yep.
We had a BlizzCon panel and I was pretty adamant about that. And so I had a couple people in my Twitter feed after I knew loot boxes were coming, mention loot boxes. And I just wanted to crawl into a hole and be like, don't talk to me right now. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I know I've been preaching about it for like
ever.
A year.
Yeah.
Just don't talk to me right now about it.
Yeah. You've been
now's not the time.
You've been the biggest proponent for sure of the idea. And you seemed, I don't know, in the past when you've brought it up, I was pretty convinced that you were right. And it turns out you were dead right. In fact, there's nothing about what you predicted that isn't happening. I don't think anyway. I mean, there's still some question about, actually, can we talk about something real quick about that? I know we're going to jump around a little bit today. Today's going to be a big deluge of information. Okay. Stuff that you guys saw on the ground, things you learned while you were there, things we all know now from the public release of much of the information and all that. But I'm really curious, when it comes to loot boxes, one big difference between the most comparable example in the Blizzard shed, which is Overwatch, one big difference is when you buy Overwatch, you get all the characters and you get all future characters. until they do an expansion or who knows what their plans are in the future for monetization. But as it stands right now, if Orisa comes out, you get that character, and the minute you start hacking away at loot boxes, you have a chance of getting stuff for any number of those characters. The difference is, in Heroes of the Storm, you don't own them all outright in the same way that you do in Overwatch. And so, what do you guys, maybe you guys don't even know this, but does anyone know if I don't own, let's say, well, who do I not own? I don't own Medivh, okay? But let's say I get a really cool Medivh variation or skin or voice pack or something. Do I just hang on to that until I have Medivh? Do I, they're not going to surprise us with this launch and suddenly you own everybody, because that definitely didn't get talked about in that video. So I'm just curious what your take is on that, because it is the one defining difference between loot boxes and most free-to-play games, not all, but most, many, and this one, and that is that you either own some of the heroes, none of them, or all of them, but in theory, those loot boxes are going to throw out stuff for everything you don't have, including things you have. So any thoughts? Whoever wants to take it.
There's a couple of things at play here. First, I know they have said that there are some level of bad luck protections, and I don't know if any of those bad luck protections, if it's purely just you have not seen or you have not gotten an ultra rare or anything like that in a while, so now we're going to make it weighted so you're more likely to. That's definitely there. I don't know if there's anything in there to protect you from getting things for heroes that you don't already own. That could be, but I can't say for sure. What I can say for sure is one thing that this, the way they're doing loot boxes that Overwatch doesn't have, is if you get a loot box you do not like, you can re-roll it with gold. So you can say, you know what, I got a skin for a character I don't have, I don't want to have that, I'm going to spend the gold to re-roll it. Now, you are giving up gold to do that. It's not like it's a free option that pops up or anything like that. But it is an option. Also, heroes drop from loot boxes now, so I feel like people are going to actually fill up their roster pretty quick. I was in the beta, which is up now before coming on here, and I think I opened about 15 loot boxes. I basically spent whatever shards I had for whatever reason when I got in there, or gems, I should say, and just said, all right, let's see how many loot boxes I open. And I opened, I think it was 10 or 15. And I think I got, and granted they were duplicates for me, but I got like four heroes over the course of opening the boxes.
Oh, wow. All right. That's interesting.
I did some rerolls too. So we're technically looking at a number that's higher, because I also figured I'll spend gold, because who cares if I spend gold on the beta. Yeah. But there's a lot of things at play that I think will make it easier for people. But you know, it does feel bad. If you don't want to spend the gold and you get a skin for a hero you don't own, that probably feels bad. Yeah. But
if you've done this in Overwatch, you already know how bad or unbad that feels. Like, depending on your take on that is probably how your take will be here. Do you know if all the stuff you've done, including loot boxes on the PTR, will carry over or no? To the live game, I mean, when they're done testing.
I don't believe so. Okay. I don't think anything you get on the beta is going to carry over.
Because the reason I ask, guys, because I've got five to open tonight on stream, which I plan on doing so people can see how they look. They just were there. There were five waiting for me. And I haven't done it yet because I want people to see what the process is like. But I was just curious, if I do that, is that a mistake? Should I hang on to them till they're live? Or if they don't carry over, then who cares? I'll just do it, right?
Chad is saying they have confirmed beta will not carry over. Okay. So,
all right, so we're safe.
You'll be good, especially because we're getting significantly less in the beta. So there is going to be some carryover. You're going to basically log in and you're going to probably get some stuff because your experience, your individual hero experience is going to go into your player level, and that's going to net you some bonus loot boxes on day one.
Right.
And the PTR has always been separate. So I logged in and I think I was only like level 14 on my account, which is way lower than what I am on my live account. So there's definitely going to be more to open when it does go live.
So Bo, you just stay on this topic for a second. We'll wheel back to more of what fundamentally happened over the weekend, but you were the one, if we were talking positive vibes about the idea of loot boxes or loot crates or chests or whatever in this game, of the three of us, you seem to be maybe the most skeptical about what that would be. So I'm really curious how loot boxes have landed on you.
Yeah, I mean, I've said I don't like loot boxes. Like, just not even skeptical. I dislike them. Mm-hmm. And it's still nagging at the back of my mind a little bit. But I was so in love with all the stuff that I saw. Part of the issue with Heroes is like, well, what's it going to be for me in Heroes? And I think I even mentioned it to a few people over the course of the weekend that, like, I normally don't like this kind of thing. And I can't tell if just because it's a game I like, I'm willing to look past it. Mm-hmm. Or if because I'm really excited about all the new possibilities available. So not only is it new skins, but they're adding tints, for example, or limiting tints. There are, you know, there's the emojis, there are the announcers. I don't know if those come in loot boxes too, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Oh yeah.
Like, there are banners that you can get. So if you're the one that last hits a structure, the banner goes up in its place for the rest of the game. They look incredible. and there's sprays. Like, the sprays in this game actually makes more sense. A little story, and we're not going to get into too much detail, but there were some games being played at this event, and John may have been up on the big screen with the game-winning move, and he put his Li Ming Deal With It spray on the ground. and there's more to that story, but let's just say it was pretty awesome watching John get to put his spray on the ground on a publicized video that the whole room could be watching, and to say Deal With It. So that was a pretty awesome moment. And I'm like, oh, this is way better. In Overwatch, people are so, like, twitchy. They spray and they look away in the camera. You don't look at your sprays. But on a top-down map, that spray is there saying F you. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is that there's going to be new taunts. Somebody said there that, you know how B-stepping's a thing and we all hate it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the dev team felt like, why don't we give people more tools to B-step? And so there are new taunts. I don't think they're in-game yet, but there are new taunts and animations that have stuff over their head. And this is all great fodder for loot boxes, and I liked all of it. So I was like, okay, give me the loot boxes.
Okay. So this may have turned you, I shouldn't say turned you around, because who knows until we get some time with it. But that was my impression as well. I shared a lot of the same concerns you had. I mean, if I'm being honest, I like the idea of loot boxes because I like getting stuff. But I was more excited about character progression and the revamping of both account and character level progression. That was more interesting to me because that felt like it was going to be kind of a more regular reward for working on higher level characters and that sort of thing. but now I think I've come around to what they're thinking with these chests. And it feels, how do I put this? It feels generous what they're giving you, especially if all of John's conversation about waiting the results, you know, depending on what you already have or if you have the character or you don't and all that kind of stuff. All of that feels very generous on their part. It doesn't feel like they're being really cheapskatey here. And again, we'll have to see it in practice, but it looks like we're going to get regular cool things on the regular and we're going to get some cool currency if we don't. And maybe one of my only remaining concerns about the system is the multiple forms of currency. This feels like World of Warcraft during Wrath of the Lich King or something. Well, there's like eight currencies. There's not. Mm-hmm. There's like three, right? So what do we have? We have gold. We have gems. We have shards. What else is there? Is that it?
That's it, actually. Gold, okay. Gems, shards.
And is gold only in there because you already have a ton of it? I mean,
just to answer the question, the gems is your favorite concept, Scott. It's space money. It's Microsoft space money.
Space points.
It's space points. But here's the kicker. There was a Q&A session that John and I were a part of. I guess we're going to be all over the place because my linear mind's like, wait, we're not at the Q&A yet.
Yeah.
But one of the things we had Travis McGathey, who's been on the show, Mr. Rashier. I asked him a question about the gem system because I thought actually the gem system's pretty interesting because Blizzard has a lot of competitive games, but they don't do things like payouts. Like they have automated StarCraft tournaments, but you're not going to win $1,000 for one, right? Like, that's not how that works.
Right.
But I told him, I said, well, it sounds like to me gems being in the games makes it seem to me like you can award prize money to people that has cash value, but only in the Heroes environment. And, you know, there's some nodding, you know, nothing confirmed, but just generally speaking, it's the idea that we have our occurrence. That's more money, and gold is like Air Miles program.
Oh,
if you think of it that, like, if you think of those two things that way, that's all it is. You have real Nexus money, but it's not real.
Real Nexus money.
Yeah.
Real TM, Nexus TM, money TM. and you have gold, which is just an air miles program, right? And which is used for, I think now, just rerolling pretty much. And repair bills. And then you've got shards. That wasn't even a joke, right? Anyways, no. You've got shards. Yeah. And shards are just dust from Hearthstone. Mm. That's not too bad. That's actually, I think, pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
I think it's going to take a little time to get used to the three currencies just because it's new. But I do think it does put the game in a better place. And the other thing, this even kind of goes back to the heroes, not owning all the heroes that you mentioned, is the prices are coming down. Mm. So before, when you bought a hero, you got a hero and you got three skin variations, and then you got the ability to unlock, you know, a master skin with three skin variations, and that was everything that you got with the hero. Because all those skin variations are now considered their own skins and separate from the hero, they are reducing the prices of the hero. And they even said that by going to a gem system, it removes a transaction fee on their end, which gives them further opportunity to keep prices lower on their end.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, all of that sounds generous to me. It all sounds like a pretty fair shake. And I don't know if that's from... my impression of that might just be from the idea that I was worried that all of us longtime players have been there since the alpha would feel like we were being like all our previous work was being minimized and they were moving on to a new system without us, or too bad you guys were here to help us test it the whole time. Now here's a whole new way of playing the game, and I guess keep playing if you want to, but this is way more friendly to new players. Like, I was a little worried about that, just a little bit. It doesn't feel that way. I do not feel like I'm going to be taken advantage of. I am genuinely excited about these changes, specifically when it comes to not just loot boxes, but character progression and where my currencies are going to go after this. I'm actually kind of glad I hung on all my gold. Am I going to get to keep that gold? I assume I am, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't spend that on a bunch of master skins.
So if you buy the master skin, you get the master skin and all three skins when the switch is over, and all three color variations, I should say, which means you would already have those,
right?
As opposed to having to get them individually. I don't know. You got to weigh your options. So gold now is only heroes and rerolls. Yeah. So you will have a use for your gold, but if you spend it on master skins, you're getting essentially three skins every one of those you buy with gold.
Right. So if you break that up into thirds, you're spending, all right. So I don't know what the exact math is, but they've made it. I'll say it this. At the very least, even with that one kind of transaction you're talking about, a master skin with three variations, they've made the math feel okay to me. Like, I'm not looking at this and going, what a rip. I can't believe my gold's not worth what it used to be worth. I don't feel that way at all looking at these numbers. And that is a win for me. I feel real good about that. Again, we need the proof's in the pudding. We're going to have to use it and see how we think long term. But nothing he said in that video today made me sad, except for, and I got over it very quickly, but when he said gems, I went, shit, we're doing gems. Yep. It's like every other thing. It's like Smurf berries or whatever. It's the worst. I hate them. I hate them. I hate fake money. But
yeah, I mean, you expect, we give you 3 stars out of 3 for that match you played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I played too many mobile games. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. But I guess I quickly got over it. I see what they're doing, and I think I'm fine with it. So
it's just think of it as Microsoft money. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a way that you can earn gems as well as, you know, gold. I'm not entirely sure if that's in the game or if that was just mentioned or in the future, but the idea that they have a currency in game also allows them to give it as a reward too, where they can't give you cash.
Right.
And they did say there was a way to get small amounts of gems. Like, you're not going to be able to get rich.
Right.
Not, quote unquote Nexus rich, but you will earn some gems through various means.
Well, I watched, so in that video, there's a scene. It's not really a scene. It's not like a movie, but there was a moment where they showed loot boxes being opened, and it was, you know, here's a banner, here's a spray, here's a voice or whatever. And then one of those screens, they showed a couple little gem things go bloop, bloop, bloop down at the bottom, like you earned some gems during that thing. And so my thinking is, and maybe they were more explicit than I remember, so forgive me, chat room or anyone else who hears this, if I'm just saying the obvious, but like in Overwatch, when you get a duplicate, the duplicate turns into those whatever their space credits are.
Shards.
It's shards here.
Okay, yeah. Shards here, not gems, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's the third currency. So shards are the crafting currency. Shards are your way of saying, I definitely want this item. I have shards and I'm going to get it that way.
Okay. All right. Well, again, proof in the practice, right? We got to play with it and see what we think. But I'm heartened so far about all of that. Now, here's back to Irvine. You guys heard about all this stuff and then you heard about it again yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Was it any, how do I put this? I mean, you were ground zero before it was public knowledge. Did it land any different? Like, was the hype field so intense that you was just like looking into the sun with no eye protection when you first heard it? Or was it more exciting to see kind of the fruition on, when the whole public heard about it? Like, I'm curious about that because I heard it and got excited, but I don't know where your heads are at.
You got to back it up a little bit because the event for me alone, let's say there was no news.
Yeah.
The event still would have been really, really just exciting. Like it's just too exciting. It's not that I didn't care about the announcement, but literally John and I got front, all the podcast groups. We all got front row seats, the Lords and ITN. We were all up there in the front row and there was like a BlizzCon panel, except it was a very small, intimate affair, maybe between only 50 to 100 people, I want to say. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And we're all up there in the front row and out walks Alan DeBeery and Travis McGathey and Kent Eric Hagman and KO Milker sitting up on the chairs as they do, delivering the presentation like 5 feet from me. And I was just like, you know, they could be spitting on me and I wouldn't notice. And it was super rad just to be there. And yeah, they were showing awesome stuff, but I think mostly the whole time, it was just super fun to be there. And I got to meet a ton of people in the Heroes community. We did. Sorry, John. Mm-hmm. I met them. John didn't. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, we were around bugging people all weekend. So it was kind of easy because it's super exciting for Heroes players to have the 2.0, but on a personal level, it was just more exciting to be there, period. So to answer your question, 50-50. Not that hard, actually.
So it lived up to your expectations when you got there? You were stoked, and then you got there and went, wow, this is amazing, and now so it lived up to what you hoped it would
be. Yeah, I mean, the community team, first of all, we have to talk about this event. I don't know why. I mean, I know why we got invited, but I kind of don't. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm just some schmuck that also happens to be there. John, I don't know if you feel like you deserved it, goddammit, so, but I don't think so. I think you feel as I do, which was, I was very flattered to have been invited. I think I got the anxiety attack a few weeks ago because I was just trying to make sure I get all my ducks in a row. I was nervous about there being a problem with me going. And from the moment we got there, we were in good hands. We got our swag bags at 9 p.m., I guess. I don't know. I fell asleep right when I got to the hotel and woke up halfway through.
Nice.
We all went out for Korean barbecue, a lot of us, straight from the hotel till about midnight, and we got to socialize there. Then we went to, I slept like 6 hours. I got up at 6 a.m. the day of the event. That's how excited I was. Hint, I get up like at 6 a.m. maybe once a year.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not Christmas. Like, I'm usually a 7 to 8 or something, but I was bing wide awake at 6.
Yeah.
Confirmed. And Bo is the groundhog.
Yeah, you are the groundhog. 6 more days Heroes. Yeah.
And so anyways, the point, I'm sort of rambling, and I'm, because I think we're all tired here, but I wanted to thank, you know, Lashes and Spirion, Ravenix, and the rest of the community team for putting on what was a stellar event from front to back. I arrived excited and left excited with no downtime. Mm. And even on Sunday night, a lot of us had planes to catch at 6 in the morning. We had to leave the hotel at 5. We decided not to sleep because, remember, I wake up once a year at 6 a.m., so it wasn't going to happen the next morning.
Right.
So Kyle and Garrett stayed up all night with us. So did the Gizmo and TBK stayed up all night. And Lashes and Kyle Dates, who's a game designer on the game, and Starby, who's a squadron person, basically all stayed up to make sure we got on our plane. And it was pretty rad.
Oh, wow.
So we pulled an all-nighter in the hotel lobby. We had the hotel manager come tell us to firstly stop drinking beer and then Those of us who were drinking beer and then, you know, tell us to keep it down and to move because the vacuum cleaner people wanted to work. it was great. I mean, I didn't even stay in my room that night. I literally went up that night, got my stuff and left.
Wow.
So they were really rad, real troopers, and made our experience just really fun. Yeah. So
they're great at that stuff. They take really good care of people. And it is an honor to have been invited. And they're just, I don't know. The community outreach coming out of the Heroes team in the last year and a half or so, stellar, awesome, and great, and growing, and I don't know. It's just really cool that they did all that. So Lashes, if you're listening, and everybody involved, you guys are awesome. Huge giant thumbs up. Open a loot box for yourselves. You've earned it.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little about all the cool people that you may not have heard of that we met. I know John wants to talk of it too, but and he's even in the chat room now. But we met a really cool guy by the name of Hawkray. Mm. I know he's in there, and I don't know. I think he felt like us. He makes videos on the internet, and people like him, and they're pretty cool, and you should check them out for sure. And we kind of, you know, felt the same way about being there. You know, just like, why are we invited? And we don't know very many people, and everyone's a new person.
Yeah.
So he was really cool to meet. I also had a great experience. So in the food line for dinner, I got to talk to Alan DeBeery for like 15, 20 minutes. And that was pretty, I was like nervous as hell. Cause I'm like, okay, the game director is behind me in the food line. What the hell? And I just started asking about his job and, you know, must be hard. And we didn't really talk about the game so much as we talked about personal things, but it was cool. I just really enjoyed those kind of interactions. And that's what it was like. It wasn't like, here you go. I mean, there was some of that, but here you go. You've got to talk to this person or you got to make some arrangement to speak to Dredd. No, Dreadnought was right there. I was like, hi, Dredd. I really enjoy your casting. Very nice to meet you. And he's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Goreth. And he's like, okay. And then he proceeded to immediately talk about strategy and how some things suck. Like, he just jumped straight into it. He jumped straight into it. Like, I just met the guy and he was like, bam, you know, and it was great. It's not a criticism, but definitely Pat. He's like the Don Cherry of Heroes. He's going to become the Don Cherry. It's great.
Was Gilly there as well? Was she at the
I shook her hand. She was there. There were a lot of people that I didn't get to talk to, but I did say hi. I'm a big fan and all that.
Do you see how tiny she is? She's like literally like this tiny human. She's a little tiny human. Like a little, like an ethereal fairy from another world, she is.
I mean, let's be careful. She was like the only person shorter than me.
Oh, good point. Yeah. But we met her at BlizzCon we did a little Q&A thing at BlizzCon, and she was there for that next to us. And she was standing on a chair the whole time, and I was still taller than her. So I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. It's a great thing. She can sneak into air vents. She can do all kinds of cool stuff that I can't do. But anyway, she's awesome.
Sneak into air vents. You've created a whole narrative about her life that I think is amazing, and it's just great.
One of these days, I'll put it down on paper. So
I want to keep going through the list.
Keep
going.
Keep going.
Spot,
no, keep going.
Like
no.
A little.
Have at it. What do you got?
We got to go through that list because it was the highlight. Meeting all the people was the highlight. And John, cut in.
Well, I do want to get to the list, but also we've got the chat room literally throwing questions out there. And I think we do a disservice if we just talk about, hey, here's the thing we did that none of you got to do. I know you got questions, but we're going to talk about the thing we got to do.
Well, here's.
Let's be careful, but yes, let's go through the rest of it.
We can mix it up. So, Bo,
I don't got much more.
All right,
rip through it.
I want you to have your time here.
Let me rip through it. By the way, you know, so just Lords of the Storm guys, ITN guys, we were with them the whole weekend. They were great. They were super fun. It was great meeting Kyle. He is a tall person.
He is a very tall person. Tall. Yeah, Kyle is shockingly tall and a very handsome bearded man.
And I got to get a picture with Garrett and Garrett Face, and that was great.
Yeah.
They're really funny. We really wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons together. We had a Q&A for an hour with Travis McGathy and Kent Eric Hagman, where I did my embarrassing nerd moment and be like, hi, Kent Eric. I play 7,000 hero games. I really like your games. Nice meeting you. so that was great. We cornered KO Milker for 30 minutes solid. I think he wanted to leave, but we kept like giving him a reason. Good enough questions for him to stay, and that was super fun. Like,
except
just
for me,
geeky.
Who was mean to him.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was like, hi, KO Milker. Nice to meet you. I hate Garden of Terror. I was like, dude, we're meeting KO Milker. Shut up.
It wasn't exactly that bad. Right. It wasn't that terrible.
Right.
we were discussing
I know.
Maps, and I said that one could be removed.
But I don't know this guy, John, for a few minutes after he said that.
I think it's awesome. That sounds like, John, it feels like you have to do that. Like, if you hadn't have done that, I feel like I would have been disappointed that you didn't say something about Garden of Terror. Did you ask if all these guys also have to wear their T-shirts tucked in since Browder left? Or can they untuck their...
No, that's you. That's all you, man. Okay. We're not taking your thunder.
All right. Yeah. Darn it.
You should fire that one off next time we're
When I'm in when I'm at BlizzCon this year, I'll sit down with all the powers of being and just say, look, what's the deal with the T-shirts tucked into your slacks? Anyway, keep going. You had more. You got more?
Not much. I got to hang out with Dunk for a bit. By the way, I told Travis McGathy, Kent Eric, and Dunk Train about my arena mode.
Yeah.
And it was favorable reactions.
Oh.
So hopefully that ripples around in the development team. But I got to meet Dunk. I played a game with Trixler, and I got to beat Dreadnought and Dunk Train in a match, and that was like a notch on my belt. I was like, oh, super cool.
You beat those guys? Hold on. Who are the teams?
There was other people on the team. I don't remember everyone. I just know I played with Trixler and nerding out, and then I got to beat Dreadnought. And,
wow.
And Dunk Train, and that was fun.
Who? What character? I'm just curious who you played. Who would you make?
I played Nazebo, actually. It was Nazebo. I'm not sure. All I know is I didn't play Cassie because she's the new character and everyone else was, you know, shotgunning her all day.
Sure.
So we met Halloran. He's an awesome guy. A fellow Canadian who lived in Ottawa for a while in Vernon. Mm-hmm. He does some casting for Dorm, and he was a pretty nice guy. Mm-hmm. Got to meet Kid Kerrigan, who I think is pretty cool. And, you know, Jay Howe and Horse Pants and this guy, Danny Pershadok. I feel like I'm supposed to know who he is, but I didn't know. Hmm. And we also had this Chris Carter from Destructoid who hung out with us. I guess he's an editor over there.
Like I know who Chris is. Yeah, for other reasons. Yeah. But, so yeah, Chris is great.
He came for the event, but I don't think he knew people. And I think we were his kind of people. And he was really nice. It was fun to hang out with him. And
yeah, we spent a lot of time with him. He was really, really nice.
Yeah, that guy's great. He's super cool. Well, that's cool. I didn't know they had press representation. I guess
there's a few press people there. Yeah, they had GameSpot, IGN. Oh, I don't know who all the people were, but I bumped into somebody from Digital Autumn from Digital Media. Like, there's some people around from
there. Great.
But Chris was the one that was geeking out with us because he likes Heroes. So
did you make any? Cool. Did John make any references to Mulder or Scully or anything just to see if this particular Chris Carter would be annoyed? No,
it didn't click at the time. Only now when Bo was saying it, I was like, gosh dang it,
Chris Carter should have made an X-Files reference.
The constant truth is out there.
You should have said, the truth is out there. I want to believe, you could yell as you're leaving the room. All right, anything else, Bo?
So that pretty much runs it down, just of all like the cool stuff. But I you know, my favorite moment again was just chilling with Alan in the food line. That was just a weird thing I didn't foresee happening.
He seems really jazzed to be in charge of stuff. Like, I'm getting a real great vibe off of him. I like the kind of I don't know, it's Overwatch style video thing they did. It was a little more scripted, but I like that idea, and I like that maybe that's a sign of things to come where the director will get out in front and talk to us and kind of let us know what's up. But did they talk about that at all? Is that a plan to be more forward facing on content updates and that sort of stuff from a team perspective, or no?
I don't think they necessarily said anything specifically about it, but we're already seeing it. So they actually published on their website a list of dates and when they're going to announce things on those dates. Like, we know, I mean, obviously we know Cassie is coming up, but we already know that there's going to be another hero reveal in April. Like, they've got that on their website. If you scroll down, they talk about new battlegrounds. They talk about Reddit Q&As. They talk about events that are coming up. Like, they have dates and they have it all locked up on there. As kind of like, I heard somebody compare it to an advent calendar, and it is kind of like an advent calendar. It looks a lot like it, actually. And it seems really, really neat. It's a cool way to keep people excited and like, oh, I'm going to get to look forward to this on this date. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think they said specifically like, oh, we want to be really forward facing, but they did really show, or through actions they've been showing, that they want people to have a really good idea of what to look forward to.
Here's some dates. You got March 30th for the Reddit Q&A. You got the 12th of April for Heroes Timeline. Don't know what that is. What is that? Like, their plan for the year? Don't know what that is.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, that's part of the fun, too, is like, here's timeline. What's that?
April 17th, you have two things. You have New Hero, New Battleground. On the 18th, you have Launch Event. 19th, another Reddit Q&A, some new bundles on the 20th. Like, there's a lot of stuff between now and the end of April. Even through May. May 4th is the last date they have, and that's also a New Hero unlock. Yeah, I really, really like this attention to... I don't know. Like a new, it's
well,
a new,
yeah. Yeah. Look at it this way. Like one of the parts of the conversation I had with Alan was like, one of the things he even mentioned to me, he says it in the video too. He's like, there's a lot more to come. Mm. So we had this big event. There's a lot of information that was shared with us. We didn't get all of the information that's on this advent calendar. The impression I really got from him, like, this is just a step. So as awesome as this is, my Twitter's blowing up and everyone's talking about all the new stuff, that there's more to come. And I said, you know, it kind of makes me think, like, yes, all the Blizzard games build on itself and, mm-hmm. and improve, but Heroes has really felt like to me like Minecraft, where the updates are more frequent. Like, really, I told him, you're calling it 2.0, but you could just call it the launch of the game.
Yeah.
Like, why not just do that? Like, it's just a new iteration. Like, there's this real feeling of growth and development as the game comes on, and he liked that. So that's what we're seeing here, is like, there's a cinematic. I don't know anything about a cinematic, dude. Like, what the hell? Why is there cinematic on here? I thought I knew it all. And mm-hmm. no, boom, yeah. There's a cinematic coming.
Yeah, so. What do you think that is? You think that's just a fresh take on the now, you know, old cinematic and all the new heroes that are in it and stuff?
When I see the word cinematic.
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too.
I think like the Ragnaros Varian level of animation and not Machinima style.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. At least, at the very least that, if not something more akin to their original launch trailer with the wrong Diablo in it. So let's talk.
But because that's a perfect segue.
Oh, good.
Not the wrong Diablo for long. That Diablo is going to be in the game.
All right. What's that one called?
Skin in the game.
What's that one called? It's the
Primeval
Diablo.
Diablo,
right. Is it going to have the, you know, chesties and all that, like the girly version, or is that the thing?
What? Chesties? You mean the shoulder mouths?
No, the little, she had boobies because she was half Leah.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. Isn't she in the client right now?
Oh, maybe.
I honestly didn't notice. I noticed the gaping mouths on the shoulders. I played it with the new skin.
What do you think of that?
It's super cool.
It's good. The way the the mounted Diablo kind of runs like a feral animal, the original one we have in the game.
Yeah.
This one runs, Kyle Ferguson said, it reminds us, and Garrett reminds us of the Xenomorph from Aliens.
Oh, like an alien.
It stalks.
Yeah.
It stalks around and is sort of hunched, ready to pounce. It's super badass.
And does it feel weird that the hitbox is the same and all that stuff is the same? The abilities are the same? It doesn't throw you too much? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But it's got a different voice and different animations across the board.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was playing when I had my game with the Trixler there. I was tank. I remember because I fed a lot.
Oh.
I was surprised we won.
Well, whatever. You had orbs and stuff or whatever they're called. So you came back. It's fine.
It's Fidablo. Remember, this is a Beau Schwartz strategy. The pros don't know about it, but it'll catch on.
No, it'll be the meta before the end of the year, Mark.
I mean, they stole my Varian Taunt meta, so mm-hmm. why not my Diablo Fidablo meta?
So let's get into the actual 2.0 open beta, what we know about it now, what is new, and then you guys please at any point in this, just like you did with Diablo, anything that you got to see on the ground or got to play with directly or that you've got some insight on outside of what we can see in the beta, that would be awesome, or in the PTR. So we're getting that whole thing's in there. Anybody can play, just go install the PTR if you haven't done that already, and most of you listening probably have, but if you haven't, go do it. I think right after this tonight we'll take a look in there, we'll see what's up. Play around some. Check out the new hero. Let's talk about her first. She's like the big hero release of this announcement. Correct me if I'm wrong. And again, if you guys have some insight, that'd be great. But the fact that they've announced her the same time and put her up on a PTR the exact same time as this full 2.0 thing, does that mean that we're only going to have 2.0 on the PTR for a week and we'll have full launch by next Tuesday?
No.
No. What's the
so all that right. 2.0 launches in April.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that somehow from all this information. I thought I'd seen everything. So that doesn't happen until April, but she could happen before that though.
Yes.
All right.
I think she really is going to be next week.
Okay.
And so we'll see Cassia then. She's Cassia, the Amazon. I think we mentioned it, but I did get to play her. Bo was too polite to get to play her, but I was not, and I jumped on that. And Cassia is really, really cool. I really enjoyed getting to play this hero. First of all, she has a Wonder Woman skin, and already right there, just awesome. The best.
Yeah.
So she won right there, but... No, she's based on the Diablo 2 Amazon. Interestingly enough, I feel like the way she's supposed to be lore-wise is she's supposed to be... I could be just reading into this and making stuff up, but I'm going to say it like it's fact. It's the equivalent of... You know how the barbarian in Diablo 3 is the barbarian from Diablo 2?
Yeah.
She's the Amazon from Diablo 2 at the Diablo 3 timeline. Like, she's older. She's this is her post that adventure. This isn't the Amazon that went through on that adventure. This is her years later. Yeah. You know, and super cool hero.
My money's on her. My money's on her coming back after Necromancer release in Diablo 3, that she's the next pack. Because you know they're not stopping with one. I think they're going to do character packs for that game. They're going to charge for them. We know the Necromancer is coming sometime this summer. I'll bet you money. This is the start of setting her up to be the next character you pay for and play in Diablo 3. Even though it'd be kind of cool if they reached out to classes that weren't necessarily already in the canon of the game. Like, it'd be nice to have something completely new and not something from Diablo 2. Actually, when I say that, I don't even actually care, because I really like the Amazon a lot, so I'm totally cool with it. But yeah. you think I'm right or wrong on that?
I think that could be. I mean, they did say, because we were asking about all the voice work, because they've got announcer packs now in the game. And it's like, well, is it hard to get a bunch of people in to record a bunch of stuff? And they said that when they have a voice actor in the studio, they record a ton of stuff that isn't even close to things that they think they'll use, but they might use one day. So they record it. And if you're going to hire a voice actress to come in and record all these lines for Cassia, why not have her record lines for Diablo while you're there and just leave the door open?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they did. That's me conspiracying.
Okay. But I like your conspiracy. I like it a lot. I say why not as well. Let's talk about her stuff. Avoidance when moving unmounted. Is it Cassia is how we're supposed to pronounce it? It is Cassia, right?
Yeah.
Like Cassiopeia, but without the opia in it. Anyway.
Yes, exactly. Say Cassiopeia, then remove the opia, and you got it.
And then I've nailed it. Which is,
it's weird because Cassiopeia is a League of Legends character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is she like this? Amazonian arrow chucking?
She's like a mermaid, except for snakes. So,
I remember that play. That was a really good play. A mermaid for snakes.
A mermaid for snakes. No,
I mean, instead of a fish, she's got a snake on the bottom.
Oh.
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 Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying now.
Sorry. I didn't.
A mermaid for snakes.
I didn't word that correctly. I'm sorry.
You're still tired from your trip. This is, I mean, don't forget, Bo has a long history of great snake comments, like this one.
Do snakes fart?
See? So it's just the same as I've
Oh, does Cassiopeia fart?
I doubt it. We'll ask Greg Street when we see him at Nerdtacular. Did I tell you that Greg Street's coming to that? I may have. Have I not said that? Anyway. Greg Street coming to Nerdtacular, everybody, 2017. So anyway, here's the other thing I was going to say about her. She gains 65 physical armor against heroic basic attacks, reducing the damage taken by 65%. That seems good. Do you have? It's only when moving unmounted, or can you? Do you activate it? Does it have a cooldown? Is it just always on?
Only in movement.
Okay.
So if you stand still, it's off. If you're moving, it's on.
So she is meant to be mobile, obviously, by her trait. Seems like she needs to be always on the move. Let's see. She has lightning fury for her Q. Hurl a javelin that damages the first enemy hit and splits into two lightning bolts that deal damage to enemies in her path. Blinding light for W after 0.5 seconds. Blind enemies in the target area for 2 seconds. And the passive gives Cassius, lets her deal 15% increased damage to blinded targets. So that effect on her enemies. So, and then E, it's called Fend. Which charge at an enemy on arrival, channel for 1.5 seconds, damaging enemies in front of Cassius every 0.25 seconds, deals 50% reduced damage to non-heroes. Bo is poking the screen madly.
Yeah, I want to do the sound.
Okay, so how does that feel, John? There's your kit. We'll talk about Heroics in a second, but how does all that feel to you since you played her?
Kit feels really good. It synergizes pretty well. You know, what you want to do is you want to get in there, blind a target, rush in with your Fend, and then as they presumably go to run away because you've done a lot of damage to them, hit them with their with your Q as you go. So there's kind of a natural flow to the things that she's doing, and that synergizes well with her ultimates, too. She's really, really strong against auto attackers. I say that because it's a theory, but every game I played, the random team that was assigned to me on the enemy team was all spellcasters. So I did not get to see it in practice at all, but I can confirm it doesn't work on spell damage. So,
all right.
But, you know, it, I mean, that's a big chunk of armor. So you put her in front of a Vala or a Rainer, and they're just not going to do a ton of damage to her unless they're actually using their abilities. Same with Illidan. So, you know, she's going to have a real strong place. You do have to learn to stutter step if you want to use her effectively, because you want to have that constant movement. But, yeah, her kit feels really good, really strong. And her Q, the throw, and then the little bolts go off in two different directions, feels very satisfying.
Oh, I like that.
Because you can throw it, you can hit one tower directly, and it will go up and it'll hit the walls, the gate, and the other tower from one throw.
Oh, wow. That's all right. That's a good staff to have be thrown around. So, so she feels good. That makes me happy to hear that. And we didn't mention it before, but she's an assassin, clearly. That's her job. She's not... That's what I wanted to ask about. They didn't talk about any of that stuff in the video or anything else, but this whole character for classification thing, did any of that get brought up at the thing?
I brought it up in our Q&A. So we had group Q&As, like a bunch of us got to sit down with, like I said, we sat with Kent, Eric, Hagman, and Travis, and I think we asked about it. We did ask about it,
you
right,
did.
John?
Yeah. You asked about it.
Yeah. And so they said it's something they're looking at, but it's not anywhere soon in the timeline, partially because it impacts, like Kent Eric said, he had the power to change text in the game. But if he does that, it impacts a lot of other sides of the business, right? Like the web team, what they do with the website, like all of that's got to get updated as well. All the marketing, all that business. So and quests, like system designers, it affects. So it's just a question of that takes time to do. So the answer is kind of yes, but nothing to talk about, really. Because I mentioned it was in the PTR, right? Last week's show, last show. So so I don't think it's coming anytime soon, but it's not like off their radar. It's somewhere on their roadmap.
Did you get the impression that when he said, I can change text in the game anytime, that he could go in there and just screw around, like go...
Yeah, he can...
Well done.
You're right, Illidan the penis head.
Right. That's exactly where I was going with this. All right, good.
Yeah, that was what Travis, we all were thinking.
Travis, use it with great power comes great responsibility, Travis. Don't forget it. Let's talk about her two heroics. Ball Lightning. I had a bad case of that once. And
well done.
Valkyrie, who always needs food badly. Let's talk about Ball Lightning first. Throw a ball of lightning at an enemy hero that bounces up to six times between nearby enemy heroes and Cassia, damaging enemies hit. That sounds real familiar. Is that something based on her kit in Diablo 2? Because that's something about that sounds like an ability she used to have, and I can't put my finger on it. But I don't remember.
That I don't know. I did not play Amazon in D2.
So they said something about Javazon being a thing, but I don't know what that means.
Javazon? Wow.
I guess it's a build. So my problem with Diablo 2 heroes is that I played Diablo 2, but I played it wrong, which was I bought the game, played the campaign, and then never played it again. You know, it's the game and you play the campaign. It wasn't until Diablo 3 I learned that you play this thing like a raving lunatic and not just like a normal game.
Right. And well, so they made that much easier to do in 3 for the better. That game's easier to do that with. But also Diablo 2, once you locked yourself into a path, that stuff wasn't you couldn't refund points and reassign points. Like there was this rune system and stuff they do now was nowhere to be seen. So if you locked into a talent or a tree or a configuration or whatever, you were there for good. Even if you screwed up royally and you sucked, that's what you were stuck with. So even then, you know, you may have never seen that build just because how would you know, you know, unless you were again raving lunatic back in the 90s looking shit up, or I guess 2000s, early 2000s. I don't want to age that game.
I played Paladin. Oh, so yeah? He was not exciting. Let me tell you. No. I don't I don't know if anybody would get excited if they announced Paladin. What was exciting about Paladin is I didn't get one-shotted in the Chaos Sanctuary or whatever it was, the last where you fought Diablo. Oh,
yeah, that's good to not get one-shotted in there, and he's the only guy that can take it, pretty much. But I'll say this, the best character that ever was in Diablo 2 was the Necromancer, and we're getting him again. Cannot wait. And then you get Valkyrie. Summon a Valkyrie that rushes to Cassia after 0.75 seconds, pulling and damaging the first enemy hero hit and stunning them for 0.5 seconds at the end of her rush. The Valkyrie knocks back other enemy heroes that are in her way. That one seems all right.
Yeah, think of it like a Stitch's hook, except it hits the farthest back target in this case that's within range. Mm-hmm. And then as it drags it towards you, anybody else in the way gets knocked aside.
Kind of sundering a little bit. They get sundered off to the edge. Although they don't get
stunned.
There's no stun. There's no stun.
It's just they actually talked about this because Judgment has the same effect. Mm-hmm. It's more for style points and less for utility. Mm-hmm. Like Judgment, when you target a guy and slam into it, the body slam them, mm-hmm. he knocks people away, but it's not because you're going to use it to knock people away. It's just because it looks cool.
Right.
So same deal here. So mainly, you're getting that backline target to your up right up to you so you can stabby, stabby, stabby.
So overall, did she feel like she's very susceptible to things like stuns and roots and things where she's not moving? I'm just really curious about that trait. And if avoidance isn't always happening, it seems like things could get ugly for her.
Well, I mean, I think the way you need to play her, especially if you're dealing with stuns and roots, like that is going to kill her because basically that makes the auto attackers go from kind of useless against her, not useless, but very weak against her, to being just as strong as they normally would be. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have all the hit points in the world. So I think if you're dealing with stuns or roots, you need to be very careful about how tanky you feel with her. You need to play her very much less frontline, and you need to play her more like a traditional assassin in that case. So I think she's got her place. I don't feel like if you go up against a bunch of spellcasters and stuns and roots, I don't feel like you're not going to be able to play at all. You're just going to be at a disadvantage.
Mm. Okay. Well, it makes sense. There's the rock to the paper. Or wait, the other way around. No, paper to scissors. Who wins? Who beats rock? Paper does.
Paper? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well done, paper. You ever seen paper? Look at it. All right. Progression system. Bad Waterworld reference. Progression system. Player level progression is no longer capped at 40. That means you keep going infinitely for your account progression anyway. And again, like John said earlier, the math is done by combining all your hero levels that you currently own for or currently have for heroes that you have into one number. Has anyone done the math to see what they're going to be? Because I don't know what I'm going to be. I have no idea.
So the equivalent right now to like level 10 mm-hmm. is going to be roughly 15 mm-hmm. in new level land. Okay. Because one of the things they really emphasized was making the gap between 9 and 10 was really long. We've mm-hmm. talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
And the gap between every other level is really long. So they've shortened it by a ton.
Yeah.
So,
but it's 15. Not like it's not like Overwatch though, where you hit a certain, I mean, I could tell from their chart that you sort of, you kind of do hit a bit of a crescendo and then they're all kind of the same, but it seemed like there's still an upward path. In Overwatch, you just have the at some point you just start hitting the same number every time and getting a level.
Yeah.
But that's not true here, right?
They will plateau after 15.
Oh, they will. 20, okay.
Somewhere. Yeah, there will be a plateau, but the spaces between leveling are going to be shorter, mm-hmm. meaning you're going to get your loot boxes probably like quick like you kind of do in Overwatch. It's not that bad in Overwatch, right? You play a night, you might get a loot box or two.
Sure.
So,
I like that.
But
like
it's going to be shorter. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
They said think about the time investment it takes to get to like to level up from like 7 to 8 or something like that. Mm. Like it's going to be more in line with that gap, or getting to level 7, and it's going to be more like that for the high levels.
Right.
I mean, it's not that giant cliff that it used to be where it's like, oh, I hit level 8 and now it's going to take 7 years to get to level 10 by comparison.
So will characters that I have right now that are level, I have a level 16 Jaina. Will she be like 18, 19, 20 or something after the recalculation, or is she just, is it just still 16
or 14? She should be higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she'll be much higher.
All right. I'm pretty excited to see what that translates to, for whatever reason.
Like my hero level right now is 696, and I'm anticipating it being in the 1200s,
Oh my lord.
Like, it's going to be a big difference.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I also like this. Existing hero levels have been converted. Oh, we already matched that. So you're not going to lose any hero levels. Like, this is, again, that feels smart and generous and good for its player base, for them to say, all that hard work you did, we're going to give you whatever the equivalent of that is now. And all of that 9 to 15 range that was horrible, not horrible, but took you forever, that's all going to pan out to look like a much bigger number. And player, man, we love bigger numbers. We're so into bigger numbers. Players of video games, man, we eat those bigger numbers out. Give me some bigger numbers, man, right now. Just eat them right now.
Well, I do think we should spend at least a moment, a hot moment, talking about the slight elephant in the room, which is, if you go to Reddit right now, top posts are all about Cassia and Heroes 2.0 and all of that. But one of the higher up threads with a lot of comments and upvotes, and it's even come up in our chat a couple times now, is that a lot of people have been asking about, well, how is this going to work retroactively? And one of the big complaints about it is that they are capping the amount of loot boxes you can qualify for your progress at 70. Mm. So you can only get 70 loot boxes for your past experience. I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to disappoint a little bit of people, but take it for what you will. I think on this, we're going to need more information from Blizzard, because I read through that Reddit thread. I read a lot of the responses. I saw some people doing math and saying, like, look how screwed out of loot boxes some of these people are going to be. I saw other people do the math and say you would have to have every hero in the game up to level 15 to actually qualify for all 70. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not going to happen. So I've seen people throwing quote unquote math around supporting both sides. And I honestly am at a point where I don't know. And I don't think most people are going to know for sure until Blizzard just flat out says, like, no, here's the raw data on who's going to be impacted. Mm. But I do understand there is a concern out there of people saying, like, I put in such and such amount of time and I'm only going to get 70 loot boxes, and somebody else put in less time than that and they're going to get 70 as well. And that's not fair.
Mm. I totally see their point of view. But if the math is correct on the person that calculated it as own every hero at level 15, and if that's where Blizzard said, well, that's our threshold, so we're going to make that the limit, because they know too, by the way, they have the data, so they'll know how many people are over that limit, if there are any. So that feels fair to me. I mean, I don't want to just be a Blizzard apologist, but that feels all right. I mean, what else are they going to do? They have to put the line somewhere. So
Yeah, and then you have an EULA or EULA that says they can just shut the game down and take your money. Like, you've agreed to a lot of weird things. They don't really have to do this. And even if they didn't retroactively do anything, like, they probably garner some bad will, which is why they're giving out the boxes. But they don't have to give away the entire game update they're giving for free. I expect them to cap it somewhere. So I think this is going to be enough. I think anything they give is generous in this regard, because I expect nothing. And we always get something every time they make changes in the past too, which you've gotten a bunch of extra gold in the past for changes.
Yeah.
So
plus you could argue anybody who has the numbers to get 70 are playing for pro teams now and are making like money anyway. You know what I mean? Like, most of those guys, I realize there are probably a handful of outlying mediocre players that bought everything they could, got their dad's credit card and spent it all. And anytime something new came out, they got it. And then they just sat around and grind and grind and grind and feed and feed and feed. And they were never any good, but they just love collecting. I'm sure that one or two of those people exist. But you can't cater to that, can you? You can't.
No. And I mean, like I said, I'm the person who complained about the unfairness of stim packs, and I think it's fine. Let that be your barometer.
Well, and I mean, it's a tough issue, right? Like, I do see both sides. You know, if you technically put in the time to earn the experience that would grant a loot box, and you don't get a loot box for that, but had you put in that same amount of time and hit it in this new system, you would have. I do see that as feeling bad. I do wonder how many of these people are legitimately 70 cap people that are upset because it's affecting them versus people who are getting upset for other people. I think that's one thing to consider. But the other big thing is that it's not like they're taking everything we have away from us and then saying, I hope you get it back in loot boxes. Right. Like, They're saying everything you've achieved and unlocked so far, you're going to get to keep. Here's a few extra bonuses, and here's 70 loot boxes to get you started. Like, honestly, my biggest concern at this stage, and this is just me personally, is that, man, with 70 loot boxes, I hope there's still stuff for me to unlock and get with what's going to be in the store at launch, because I would actually be a little bit bummed to cap out and have loot boxes mean nothing to me.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And can you, okay, I hate to be jumping around, but you just made me think of another thing. This is how this show is going to go, because you guys heard things that I don't know yet. Did they say, or have we seen, or is there somewhere I've missed that says, like Overwatch, you can just go buy $50 worth of boxes?
Yes.
You can just go buy boxes. All right. Yeah. Now, I've never had a problem with people doing that. I've done it once to see what it would feel like. In Overwatch, I did. And it was fine. But I feel like that process sort of lessens the value of the loot boxes. I kind of wish you could only get them by grinding them out and getting them in the game and earning them. I understand why they don't, and it's a great money thing, and they should do it. This game needs to make money, so I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. But for me personally, I like that feeling of earning it and unlocking it. And if I just bought it, well, then it's not even pay to win. It's just pay to get, right? It's like, here, I want stuff. Give me stuff. Okay, here's a bunch of stuff. And it feels a little bit like gambling, because sometimes you get a bunch of sprays you already have or whatever. If that's the case, that's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that yet, because I need to just kind of see how it plays out. But I don't like how it lessens the feeling of, I found a thing that's special, and now I have a special thing. And when you can just buy them outright, that specialness gets a little tarnished.
Keep in mind that they're helping support the game while you're not.
Right,
so,
right. You know. And that's totally fine. Totally. Like I say, I'm 100% with them on doing it, just from a purely gameplay perspective. You know, it'd be like, well, in Diablo, I love resplendent chests or plests. And so when I open them, they pop and all kinds of great stuff comes out. Maybe a couple legendaries. You never know. And that's a great feeling. I wouldn't feel that way if that game said, hey, you want to buy some resplendent chests? Here you go. Here's 50 chests you can buy for $50. Suddenly that would just lose all the luster. Like, what would be the... I would hate that. So I guess all I'm saying is, in a free-to-play game, this stuff is expected. I'm coming to terms with that. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say this for anyone thinking just the opposite too. Have you ever had a job and then got a promotion?
Yeah.
And let's say you got 10 grand more. Did you ask your boss for the 10 grand from the past time you worked when you get your raise?
Oh, interesting. No. Nice comparison.
You don't. You just, it's a new world. You got a signing bonus. That's all it is.
Unless your boss is a super huge dick.
Or really bad at business. He's like, man, you just, now you earn $70,000, but we've worked here 5 years. So that means I owe you $300,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that job for as long as you can.
Yeah. No kidding. Never let that one go.
Till the business goes under.
Let's see. Player progression badges in the profile, score screen, and quest log will display the player's current level up to 99. Player progression badges will receive more decoration after 25 player levels. There's no talk here of what do they call it in Call of Duty when you prestige. There's no prestige talk.
Prestige.
Which is what you do in Overwatch, right? But they don't do that here?
Yeah. So it is actually going to appear that way. So your player levels are going to be a progression border, just like in Overwatch, actually.
Oh,
There will be a place. So, and you know, when you view your profile, you have stats. Yeah. That's all been upgraded. It's not really going to be heavily featured in the notes, but it is... They are starting to lay the groundwork for better stats. And so one of the things you can see, for example, is your actual level, like 1,236. But for the purpose of displaying the information, you're just going to get a profile border with like level 10.
Got it.
But level 10 silver or something. Yeah. Okay. So that's how that's going to
work. That makes sense. It also says every 100 level or player levels, the level displayed in the progression badge will reset and the badge will upgrade with even more ornate artwork. So yeah, it sounds like Overwatch. Somehow I missed that when I read through this thing earlier today. Basic portrait border no longer displays the player's current level. Let's see. Players can still view their total player level by checking their profiles or by hovering the cursor over their portrait in the game menus. I don't know if that means the other players or just you, but you'll still be able to see where you're at. And individual hero levels are no longer capped at 20. Every time players gain a hero level, their player level will increase accordingly. So that's interesting. Do I only get, I may be really dumb, okay, so forgive me.
You're not dumb. You're asking the
I know. These are good questions. But anyway, let's say I hit level 50, okay, in my... Mm-hmm. Am I only getting loot boxes for account leveling? I'm not getting them for character leveling, right?
So let's see. I think that is... It's listed somewhere a little bit when they talk about the new items, but they're essentially awarded for levels, I believe.
Levels, your account levels, right. Not player levels or character levels, right?
Yes.
Because if Nazebo hits a new level, no loot box. If I hit a new level as Lord of all the characters I play, I get a loot box.
Here's how it works, all right? So you get a regular loot chest for every player level that doesn't award a rare epic loot chest. So every time you level, you get a box. Mm-hmm. You get a basic box. Every 5 levels, you get a rare box. Every 25, you get an epic box. The other type of box there is hero-specific boxes, which is guaranteed to have one type of item for a specific hero.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's good.
Yeah.
And another thing tied to that I feel like we should say and kind of get into real quick, this is another question I got asked a lot on Twitter, is what's going on with master skins as a result? Because obviously that's kind of going away. So master skins are now just skins. They're not tied to progression at all. You can log in when this goes live and open a loot box and get a master skin mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have said, well, okay, how do I know that somebody's good with a character if it's no longer progression based? The first answer is you can't. Like, if you're looking to know in draft that somebody's good with a character, there's no way to know for sure. And Blizzard has said that they want it that way because everybody needs to learn to play a hero at some point. And if they make it too upfront that here's a person that's good versus here's a person that's new, they don't feel like that person should be ostracized right out of the gate because they're new and trying to learn a hero that totally they maybe agree. Don't know.
Totally agree. So, but also after enough quick match experience, we've all learned that there are some level 10 master skin owners who don't know how to play their characters very well.
Yeah. There's also that. It's not a very good system either. And also the other problem with it is it meant that people only ever wanted to use the one skin. Cause you want to tell people you're good.
Yeah.
So maybe you hate Pope Leoric, but you feel like you have to play Pope Leoric to tell people, no, I'm a capable Leoric. So by removing that as a requirement, it now just becomes another skin. But what they're replacing it with is there's a custom taunt that you will unlock as you gain character levels. Mm-hmm. And it goes up. They said it goes up for a really long time. They said they might even cap it at the 999 that they don't think people will ever reach. But it's this overly elaborate taunt animation and effect that you can set off above your character that you will unlock through progression as kind of your quote unquote E-peen. Mm. If you feel like you absolutely have to show it off. That's what they're putting in there for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying if you have to show your E-peen, like,
oh yeah. You've got an E-peen to show.
Take F out there.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Show your E-peen. No. The other, and we got to get through all this. There's so much here.
There's so much stuff. List, I know.
So slow.
Yeah.
But just a quick mention, because I missed this and found out today about it. But there's a show helm option. So your Johanna master skin, which made me think about it, that you don't use because you can't see your sweet hair. There's a show helm option.
Oh my gosh! Really?
I didn't see this at all. Yeah. Where did you see this?
I don't know. Doesn't that make your EP and do things? So
it does.
I can't remember. I think it was on the Alan DeBeery video. It was mentioned somewhere.
Wow.
But I saw it because Kael'thas's Cyberhawk skin has a helmet, and I saw I saw the Sonya skin without the helmet on.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna have to shoot down your hopes and dreams here, Bo.
Oh, no.
Those are separate skins now.
Oh my gosh. I did
check in the beta profile, and there's robot Kael'thas and there's non-robot Kael'thas, and then there's Sonya with a helm, Sonya without a helm.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there is not a Johanna master with or without helmet.
Yet. Okay, that's hopeful. Sure.
Yet. So someone's gonna need to tell you.
Got to tell my E-peen to slow down because I've been freaking helicoptering over here with the E-peen. But now I don't know what to think.
Only way to E-peen is a helicopter. All right. Style.
Great.
Yeah. All right, so where are we at here? we're like 2% through the notes.
Yeah, there's so much more stuff. Let's jump ahead to we talked about all this progression stuff. By the way, the re-roll for loot chest rewards, 250 gold costs you, or the first roll costs you 250 gold. You can do it three times, and it increases 250 gold per reroll. So you could end up with 750 gold as your maximum output for your third run.
Yeah, the total cost would be, what, 250, 500, 750?
It's at 750, right?
Yeah.
If it's only
750
three.
750 plus 500 is
1,300? Oh, no,
1,250.
Oh, you're saying...
1,500 gold total would be, if you use all your rerolls, it'll cost you 1,500 gold.
Wait, how does that work? Because if its first cost is 250, price increases by 250 each time you reroll. No, that's only 750 total, isn't it?
You pay 250, then you pay 500, then you pay 750. I haven't tried it, but that's what it sounds like.
But that's the maximum you can roll, though, is 750 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay.
You're
done. Anyway... Oh, yeah. The original contents are permanently discarded and replaced by a new set of four randomized Nexus coins. Re-roll carefully, they say. That's an ominous thing to say. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Announcers. Okay. Question on announcers. Did they talk about this at all? And can I get Rick and Morty eventually? Can we do a core pack and let our fans have it for free? Where John's like, quick, they're attacking your core. And I could go, oh, shit, and whatever, right? I want.
We could get a Dear Martha after you die.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Dear Martha, my team is dying.
That's an amazing idea. Can we do that? We probably can't do that.
Maybe we got to pitch it, right? Oh, I mean, we got to get our fans to write in and say, hey, we want a core announcer pack.
And we don't have to charge. The trio,
It'll be all three of us up in there.
Yeah, and we don't have to charge for this. This can be a freebie thing that people just can have. I don't care. Obviously, we're not going to charge for it. I would love that. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Dear Martha, when you die, so you have 40 seconds of Dear Martha. Holy shit,
All your favorite Boisms, Scottisms, and Johnisms, all in the isms pack.
Yes. All the you know, we have enough bow lines alone to like fill an entire two packs of voice work. So let's do it.
Let's make that happen. By the way...
He could do sound effects. Beep, 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 like that. And it'd be great.
Exactly.
Beep, beep, beep of the storm. Yeah. But we could also have, oh, shit, from Scott, because part of staying up all night was talking about you for about an hour or 2 hours about how awesome you were, and then how also you answer all questions in Next Jeopardy by saying, oh, shit, oh, shit. And also, the only other time you say "aw shit" is when you play Morales and someone needs healing about 2 pixels away from you, and John goes, "Scott, can you heal me?" Like, and then you're like, "Oh, wait a second, let me get to you." And then John dies, and then you go, "Aw shit, aw shit."
Okay, first of all, it's more than 2 pixels, but the rest of it is true. Everything else you say is true. Wow. So I would like to. Is there any transcript of the 2 hour Scott conversation that happened? Because now I'm nervous. How did that?
No, it was good. It was mostly good.
I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard in my life. you need to. This is a little tangent. We don't need to go down, but you need to ask for Kyle's impression of you on Morales.
Holy shit! Really?
It's really good.
I want to know this. What this sounds like? Maybe we'll get it this
like,
week's
it
team.
He describes it like it's an amazing journey. It's just fantastic.
Oh my
it's
gosh!
Really good.
All right, I'm all in on that. I love Kyle, so this would be a chance for me to love him even more.
Yeah, but for the most part, especially, you know, the Lords of the Storm guys, except for TBK, who doesn't know who you are. And I think he's just trying to get you back for mispronouncing his show on the panel or something.
I never remember the stupid name of their, not stupid name, that great name of their show. I never
also,
remember
the very loose use of the word stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. But I do it to everybody.
It's
he shouldn't
it's
feel
all
bad.
Love. It's all love. It was we had a really, like everyone there. Basically, are doing their shows because of you, and we even had other people who don't do the show say that you know you've been an inspiration for them since, like Lash has been listening to the instance since the beginning, you know, like stuff like that. It was all good stuff.
Okay,
it's just the Morales stuff.
It was pretty funny.
You might want to do a duo Q&A with Kyle and get in.
I'm not that bad of a Morales. I'm okay. We've won many games with my Morales play.
I like your Morales, for the record. It was John and Scott, okay?
Okay.
It was John and Scott.
I'm safe.
All right. No, once in a while you have a clicky. I have clicky issues sometimes, but yeah, I'm not a terrible
mostly
Morales.
Mostly what was funny about it, we weren't talking about, oh, Scott's so bad at Morales. Oh, we should kick him off the team. It was just that you say, aw shit. Like, the times that you say, aw shit are super funny, and it's on Morales, we notice a lot.
Yeah, because when she misses and someone dies, it is a demoralizing defeat. I freaking hate it. All right, we talked about all this
announcers,
stuff.
You want to be announcers.
No, we want to be announcers. Yep, we talked about
also,
portraits.
Murky announcer.
Oh, yeah, murky. What? Murky announcer. Like,
I didn't hear it, but it's literally what you think it is. Nonsense.
Oh, my gosh. Can they give me a... I want one for Probius as well. That'd be nice. Just Probius the whole time.
Speaking of ridiculous announcers, I found one that gives Murky a run for his money, and that is the Butcher announcer pack.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is basically just... It starts with... and then it goes into... Fresh meat. And then he just continues to get more and more excited about fresh meat until he just lets out a big roar at the very end. That's it. That's all the sound file.
That sounds really great.
Really good.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm excited about that. And I love that they're using otherwise throwaway VO content that they would have otherwise held on to. I mean, like, I know just talking from Liam O'Brien, who does Illidan in all the games that Illidan appears in, the voice sessions he's described doing Illidan for Heroes or anything else is exhausting. Like hours and hours and hours of random death sounds and noises and quippy lines and things that you may never hear. And now we might hear them because they'll have a good use for them. So that's awesome.
I want to try it. Blizzard, call me.
Yeah. Give John a call. Dear Martha, call me.
I'll do it.
Let's see. We talked about a lot of the stuff we talked about, so we're doing good here. Collection. Oh, they changed it from the shop to the collection, which is still kind of the shop, but whatever. The Heroes of the Storm in-game shop has been transformed into your collection, which now is a central location where players can browse through their heroes and cosmetic items that they own and unlock the ones that they don't. In other words, it's a store still. Switch among items using a row of tabs, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is one thing I did like. I like that the new character progression thing let you do basically a loadout for skin, mount, and color variation combos. Yeah. So
you get three loadouts.
Oh, that's so cool, dude. That's so much better than what it is now. Because right now it's like, what do we want to do? Whatever. We can coordinate well ahead of time. We can say, guys, we're going with config number one. Boom, we're all red and on cool red mounts or whatever. I really like that. That sounds good to me. Yeah. What else? Anything else in this collection thing jump out that we should mention?
I'll say it because Chad is asking it. Will they still be selling bundles? Yes, they will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
And discounts and specials and all of that. They're going to have a featured tab. So it'll be... I mean, the thing is to think of gems as real money. And so just it'll be less gems than normal to buy.
Space points. Also, don't forget, they have more opportunities for more deals. So they can have deals for the space money, gems. Mm-hmm. But they can also, if they wanted to, and I don't know if they're planning on this right away or if they're planning on it at all, but if they wanted to, they could have shard deals. It'd be like, well, this is going to cost you less this week if you go shard yourself an alternate whatever.
Don't talk about sharding yourself.
If you go shard yourself.
Just bad memories.
It's with your EP and helicopters. And you put a gem in it. Make shards.
Yeah, make shards with your EP and helicopter.
Mm. I laughed so hard, I sharded.
There you have it. The gems, we talked about that. Real money, existing currency and gold. We talked about crafting materials. What else? Skins and mounts, we talked about that. User interface, anything interesting there that you guys want to mention? I looked through most of this.
It's just cleaned up and looks good. Like, I mean, just go in and experience for yourself. There isn't much to say other than it's slicker.
Yeah.
You know, and better. Yeah.
It says the loading screen display upon launching the game client has received new art. That's the entire listing under art. So
there's more than that. I think a lot of skins got art updates too. I think there's a Kerrigan one that got updated. There's some art updates in there.
Much of their game is art anyway that it's almost like they leave it out every patch because that's if you did patch notes for art, it would take 20 pages or something.
Well, and Scott, I encourage you to look at the sprays and the portraits. There is some fantastic artwork in there.
Okay.
The deal with it, Li Ming. They started with a showstopper for me is one of the funniest sprays I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It's so good.
All right.
It's so good.
I'm into it. And why were you on camera for part of this? Explain that. What happened there? You were on.
They were broadcasting some games up on a big screen. So we had a little tournament thing going on and we had four people for the tournament and we needed a fifth. So we grabbed Dunk Train. And Gilly casted a game that we were playing, mm-hmm. and it was up on the big screen at the time.
Did you win?
Yeah, we had Dunk Train on our team.
Yeah. he had the game-winning Deal With It spray that he put. That was the game.
Oh, that was the game you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. So I sprayed Deal With It and did a little dance, and that was the game.
Did your little audience there clap and laugh and think that was a hoot? They should have. Did they? I would have. I would have laughed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, they must have loved it.
I don't know. I couldn't hear. I had headphones on, but I would assume.
Couple of quick changes to some heroes. ETC's getting nerfed. 2100 health points instead of 2428. That's a pretty significant drop. And his health regen reduced from 5.06 to 4.37. So he's now less sturdy than he used to be. Mm-hmm. And what happened with the assassin? Butcher.
It's worth mentioning, because if we're going to talk about him being less sturdy, his passive Rockstar doesn't grant attack speed. It grants 20 armor.
Oh,
so that means to himself and nearby dudes. So yes, reduced health, but increased toughness for both physical and spell. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm assuming this is supposed to be a buff, and they just brought down the health to compensate for the buffiness of it.
Interesting. Kyle's take on Twitter was that they were putting him, they were moving him into more quote unquote normalized territory, so that other warriors would have a chance to do things that normally you'd rely on ETC for. So I don't know what that means.
And if we're going to talk a little changes, there was a balance patch this week on the main thing. Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about Probius last week. Mm-hmm. He got buffed in a big way. And I played two games with him this week. And last night, because I fell asleep at 6 on my couch and woke up at 12, played two games of Heroes, went back to bed. Yeah. They're both Probius games. And I just stomped. The buffs are real on Probius right now. Yeah. I recommend giving him a go.
Right.
I'm having fun all of a sudden.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that's you, who was a little down on Probius. So that's high praise. Also, my favorite thing about this entire 2.0 post is the second comment on the entire thing is from somebody named Dreadbax or Dreadlocks or something. And he says, "Where's Uther?" in all caps. And that's it.
Oh, wait. What's this? Wait, there's an Uther rework. I played on with the Uther rework.
Oh, yeah. What happened? What changed with Uther then? Was that part of the hot fix? Oh, all right.
I don't know. I didn't read the talents. I just know I played him and I went holy shock build. And I felt like I was stomping people.
I did. I sat down with Kyle and TBK, and we all crowded around one computer and did a complete walkthrough on Uther. It was like possibly the nerdiest thing to see on the floor was just three guys all crouched around this like old paladin man going, yes, I see. Okay, that I like that. But he's going to be good. He's going to be an off tank healer. Like, they are giving him some legit tanky abilities that are really, really cool. I cannot wait. I'm excited for Uther. Like, he's got some really cool stuff coming.
All right, good. That means we get to hear you do his voice more. Something I always enjoy. Yep. Before we go to an email, and there's so much here, there's plenty more that we'll stretch out over other days that we'll talk about in the lead up to the April launch of 2.0 and all that. But I really want to know what you guys individually came away from both this trip and this announcement as your favorite thing. What is your favorite thing about Heroes 2.0, Bo? What would you say?
Just what Alan said, which I keep on reiterating, because the way he said it was, there's more to come. My favorite thing about this was that there's so much awesome stuff, and I don't feel like I got the awesome stuff and see you in 2 years. I feel like there is a lot more good stuff cooking, and we're going out for dinner, honey, tonight, but we're going to go out for dinner again, you know, next week for date night. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite thing, is the potential. Speaking about the game, my favorite thing about the weekend, of course, was just the awesome event that I really enjoyed. That
was getting all cozy on that couch in Laguna.
Oh yeah, and I spooned John. Yeah, that was great too.
That's pretty good.
We got intimate.
You're not going to forget that. Your genitals touched.
Listen,
John.
listen, Scott. If you were there too, you'd be invited. You know.
Oh no, I
wouldn't have taken. I felt bad taking that picture without you.
Yeah, I would have. I would have loved it. Sadly, things were in a place for me where I couldn't go, but I was super jealous the entire time. I'm glad you guys got pictures, and there's no way I'm missing whatever the next one is. But it looked great, and hopefully we're all going to see each other at BlizzCon. And you know, BlizzCon in a lot of ways has similar stuff. It's interesting. The reason that, so this actually kind of goes to your point about what's yet to come. Part of me thinks that this 2.0 announcement, as big and seismic as it seems, really is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, because normally they're big stuff saved for BlizzCons. That's when they make the big hairy announcements. So I think that what we're going to end up with is this awesome spring summit, and then come BlizzCon, you know, the chains are off. I think that's where we're going to hear all kinds of crazy business, because the fact that they just, you know, they didn't save a lot of this stuff for that says a lot about what they maybe have planned. So very exciting, all of that. John, your favorite thing coming out of the event or this announcement or both?
I mean, the big thing from the event is definitely the sentimental choice. The people who I got to meet, who I got to talk to, who I got to interact with. All of that is just the best. I got to give Bo his first authentic American experience. Not his first, but the authentic American experience. To quote him, he got to see a palm tree. He got to eat at Del Taco. And he got to see where Terminator 2 was filmed.
I left that part out. But yeah, actually, that was the best, was hanging out with John that first day. But I'm sure it was more fun for you. And I was just some big, I was like a farmer who came to the city and was like, John, there's palm trees everywhere. I've never seen a palm. And is that where they filmed Terminator 2?
So wait, what part of Terminator 2? Was it like the freeway stuff?
The chase scene with the truck and where they drive in them, right. Whatever they call it.
It was not where they actually filmed Terminator 2. He saw a wash, Scott.
Okay. Those are all
one
over.
One of California's hundreds of washes.
Right.
And was like, oh, that's where, and I'm quoting here because I know what I'm about to say is wrong, but this is a quote. He's all, oh, that's where the Terminator chased Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. How did you guys keep that to yourselves until now? That's amazing. Holy
shit.
Well,
it's just so much happened, but that first day meeting John was actually really special too, because it was like, I don't know, I've been talking to him on the phone for a year, and I was like, hi.
Yeah, it is cool to do that.
But we hit it off pretty well. It turns out it's not that much different.
The first time I met John face-to-face was in a mall in Phoenix. That was the day I knew, this is funny, and this is maybe sentimental as well, but that was the day I knew I would do some podcasting with John eventually. I didn't know what, I didn't know where or why or what the deal would be, but I knew I would, because of all, no offense to the rest of the FERT team, but of all of those people, he's the only one that could make me laugh, like, hard. And I just knew that that was the thing. So that was my first time. Bo, we've never met yet, but I'm hoping BlizzCon's our time, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a little job opportunity I'm working on, so hopefully looking pretty good.
How tall are you? What's your height?
Somewhere 5'10 or 5'11.
Okay, so if you take the three of us, you literally have what looks like Russian nesting dolls. You have me, it's like 6'4". You have you right there in the nice average middle. You're right where I wish I was. And then you have John over on this end, and you really could just stack us and put us inside of each other. I now regret.
I mean, if you would have been there, we could have done that. And take a picture.
What happens at BlizzCon stays at BlizzCon. I'm not gonna.
Oh my gosh.
Presuppose anything.
Well,
See. Are you? How are you compared to Kyle? Because I met Kyle. Right?
Kyle and I are about the same height. Guy. He and I are about the same height. I think we might be dead on. Actually, I think he's 6'4" and I'm 6'4". So I think that's right. What's his name? Garrett's a little shorter, but his goofball hair sometimes makes him seem like he's competing. I just like to dig his hair once in a while. So there was that. All right. Well, there you go. Like I said, plenty more to come. There's no way we scratched the surface here, much in the way Blizzard is scratching the surface of 2.0, but we'll have much more to say in future episodes about all of that. Before we go today, though, how about one of these? Got here an email from Michael, who wrote and said, "Hello, Corehounds. Is this still a thing?" In parentheses, yes, you can call us Corehounds. It's fine. Isn't that what we still call ourselves? Yeah, sure.
Why not? We're Corehounds.
Says, "I wanted to comment on the Heroes of the Storm, Heroes of the Dorm Facebook stream, or as he wrote, Steam.
Good old Facebook Steam,
fogging up the social windows. So we didn't talk about this because, like I say, things get." You know, there's so much going on that it's hard to miss everything. But Dorm happened up to a point, so the final stuff happens in April in Vegas. I may be there for that. Still trying to work out.
Go.
I'm still trying to. If I'm there, I'm going. There's no question. I just don't know which week it is that I'm going. I know which week the Dorm finals are, but I got to figure it out. Anyway, long and the short of it is this. He says, "I wanted to comment on those Heroes of the Dorm Facebook streams. I wanted to preface this by saying that I am a casual HOTS player." All right, so that's an important bit. sitting firmly in the silver camp of player skill. I'd say you're doing all right at silver. I mean, not, it's not. What would average in the game be? That huge swath of bronzers?
It's gold. Gold to silver is probably where your hump is.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Well, then he's doing about what I am, and I play a lot, so don't feel bad there, dude. Anyway, sitting firmly in the silver camp and player skill. I love the game, but only get to play occasionally as my schedule and the schedule of my friends can only permit. As a casual player, I don't go to Twitch very often, as seeking out heroes in other esports isn't my normal viewing rotation. However, I found myself watching several of the Heroes of the Dorm matches as I would see them on my Facebook feed. Sometimes I would just watch the draft, then go about my day, but others I would find myself watching the entire three-game match. Now, I'm firmly in the target demographic for this. As a late 20s millennial, he didn't put dirty millennial, which I don't understand. I thought that was required. You're supposed to put late 20s dirty millennial. But anyway, I'm not everyone.
I agree. I'm with you.
Not everyone listens to my other shows, so I apologize. Anyway.
Also, I thought the demographic for Facebook was like 40s to 50s soccer moms.
I thought it was, yeah, moms and grandmas and stuff, but I could be wrong. Yeah, who knows? Maybe they're, I guess, whatever. They have over a billion users. They seem to be hitting whoever they need to hit.
I know. I'm on Facebook. Don't get mad.
It's fine. He says, I'll skim Facebook on my phone and spend a lot of time scrolling, reading, and watching things. And shouldn't I spend some of that wasted time watching some quality games of Heroes? And I'm not alone. When I would watch games, I would see the viewer count tick between 1 and 1.5K viewers. I just wanted to share my perspective and really enjoyed having Heroes games on my Facebook feed. Continue to love the show, Michael, a.k.a. Spaz Jedi. I'm going to say that the problem lies not in the format, not in the platform. It lies in the perception and the optics of it being there rather than somewhere where gamers go. And I'm not saying that that's bad for them to try to branch out or whatever. I'm not even saying it's bad for Facebook to try to get in on this world. I think that's probably fine. It's good to have competition, keep Twitch on their toes. They have some other competition now, so this is good. But that 1 to 1.5K viewers is not what they targeted. I guarantee you that is way lower than they wanted. And that's about the number I heard from everybody who was watching it at its peak, is it never seemed to crest the 2,000 or so simultaneous viewers. People watching it after the fact and archives and VODs and stuff, that's different. Those numbers calculate differently. But the live viewership needed to be way more than 1,000 people. And so I'm not going to say it was like a failure or anything, and it certainly isn't Blizzard's fault. I just think that the platform did no favors to get people over there that would normally want to watch this stuff. And I'll bet you, I could be wrong about this, but I bet we would have been in the tens of thousands on Twitch rather than 1,500.
Yeah, and I mean, this guy wrote in and said, hey, I like Heroes, I'm casual, and I saw it on Facebook, and I watched it, and I had a good time. And that's awesome, and that's what it should be, and I think that's great, and I think that's super cool, and I think you should watch more. In fact, I think they should continue to broadcast to Facebook. Problem is, I just don't think it should be exclusive to Facebook, because while you had a really good time and a really, you know, enjoyable experience, there were a lot of people that are used to watching it on Twitch and things like that, that are used to maybe a higher quality stream, more viewers or easier access to watch it on their TV. I know it's a lot easier for me to watch Twitch on my TV than it is Facebook. Then what you experience. So to me, the issue is always at the word exclusive. Mm-hmm. That's where the issue was for me, because it took it from something that I probably would have engaged with to something that I didn't ultimately engage with very much at all. I think I watched 2 or 3 games total. But I do think it's awesome that you had a good experience watching it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think anybody should be so down on it that's like, oh, don't even watch it. Yeah. You don't have good times. But I think generally speaking, it was much better to experience, if we had the option to experience it how we wanted.
Be miserable and don't do cool things. Yeah, I'm with you. Totally with you. Bo, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I sort of walked back. I posted on Twitter recently because I think we said some, you know, we don't like Facebook even now. Like, I think everything you said is fair about Facebook, that it would be much better on Twitch. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know there's a lot of people putting in hard work to make that production happen.
Yeah.
So it almost makes me feel bad because we have a bit of a platform starting to say, like, we don't like Facebook. But at the same time, I think people should, they want to watch competitive Heroes. They should watch it. And I've been watching it, actually. So I don't go to Facebook. You go to heroesofthedorm.com and just push play. You'll actually find the stream is better there for some reason. I don't know if it's just me, but if I watch it right on Facebook, I get pixelated stuff and it's not as good. It's grainy. Like, yeah. I don't think Facebook is a good platform for this broadcast because it's not being reflected as nice as it could be. But still, I have it on the second screen on Heroes of the Dorm and it's fine.
They may have had a raw feed that they got access to that then was going out to Facebook. So they may, what you got on the Heroes of the Dorm site may have been a more pure stream, and then the other was like a, you know, a lesser one or something, who knows, but it, I'm with John on the exclusive word, like, just simulcast it, have it everywhere possible, like, let's get this on TV, let's have it on Twitch, let's have it on YouTube streaming, gaming streaming, whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's put it everywhere that people are and not limit the platforms. And I understand that at this stage Facebook wants to grow that side of things, and in order to grow it, they're looking for exclusives, and they probably paid a fair sum of money to do it. So I totally get all the motivations, right? Follow the money, it'll all make sense. I'm just saying nobody should be that surprised that they were only able to eke out 1.5K, you know, maximum viewers at any given time. That's just the way that stuff goes. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm with this guy. If he's having fun watching it, don't let anyone bully you and tell you Facebook's for, you know, losers or anything and you shouldn't be watching. Like, don't approach. Just watch it. It's good. And I think we should express our opinion that we don't prefer to watch it on Facebook. But honestly, defending Twitch, I'm like, they're both giant companies that I can give two bits about, really. Mm. Why am I going to bat for Twitch? Like, I like the Twitch platform, but I'm not going to be like, I hate Facebook, only use Twitch, because it makes me feel like...
Yeah, I don't have any interest in the tribalism of it either. Who cares about that?
Yeah, I don't care about that. And so when I thought about it that way, I'm like, you know what, just watch it on Facebook. That's where it is. And the people playing, if you're interested in it, don't let it stop you. So go watch it.
It was successful for what this guy got out of it. I'm sure others were like him, and that's awesome. It would have.
How are your brackets doing, by the way?
I didn't even bother this year, so I'm not.
Mine got destroyed. I took a gamble on Laval, and they got close, but it didn't happen.
Didn't happen. So. Are they the Canadians, Laval?
Laval is the Canadians, but they were up against ASU, right? Like, that's not good.
No, they were up against who was it? UT Arlington, I think.
Yeah.
Right, the one with the one I picked. I don't remember.
Yeah. Basically, the ones who are expected to win. I don't remember, but like, it's like, if you were a gambling person, most people have them winning.
Yeah,
it's funny. They just said in the chat, pick UT Arlington for your free stim pack. I bet against them because I thought, why not? Let's pick an upset. There have been a lot of upsets in the tournament, but not the one I bet on.
Nope.
So that was the end of that.
UT Arlington still 100% win rate, 24-0.
Yeah, they haven't lost a single game.
So where you're going to win is by picking some of the others, because like, I have no other teams in the final four. Yeah, it's got to be Arlington that wins or
Heroic. Again,
I think the problem is that the 23,000 people who ahead of me in rank also picked Arlington, I'm sure. So rest in peace.
Is it the Heroic Four, they call it? That's what's happening in Vegas, right? The Heroic
Four. Heroic Four in the Grand Finals.
Right, Grand Finals. I should have another word for it, though. Grand Finals is fine, but whatever. I'm not being picky. I am going to Vegas, though, so I'm going to try to see it. If I will, I'll report from how that goes. I'll probably get some audio there. I'll probably, I don't know, try to sneak an interview with a few people. And if you're fans of the show and you happen to be at the Dorm Finals and this all works out and I'm there, I just don't know. I got to figure out what days I'm there. But if I'm there, I'll tell you where we're going to be at. Brian Ibbett's going to be down there, too. We're going to hook up and do
I think there's some meetup, too, that's happening that you should go to. But I don't know what it is yet.
Is it a Heroes meetup?
Some party after the Dorm or something.
Oh, I'd love to go to that.
Like, yeah. So that way you can tell people that you're there and you can.
Yeah, I would do that.
Come shake your hand.
I know Lashes is going and a couple other people. So anyway, I'm looking forward to doing that if it works out.
Celebration after the Dorm. That's the title.
All right. It's all about stay in school, kids, get good grades, and well, maybe you can play Heroes for a living. No, just kidding. Get drunk. We're in Vegas. Here's a hooker.
Yep, nailed it. That's exactly what it's about.
That's basically it. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks, Spaz Jedi. And if you'd like to send in your own emails, you can. Real simple. Like, you can send them to core@heroesforyou.com to play with us and others in the community / join Frog Pants in the game. Still nothing with this update regarding clans, which is fine, but I'm sure it's coming. Whatever. I just want that. So let's get that going. But for now, that'll work. / join Frog Pants. Get in there, hang out, and have some fun. Core Heroes on Twitter. You can also find Bo at Bo Schwartz, John at John _ Jagger. And you can find me at Scott Johnson. I think it's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo, and for 2.0 excitement or something. We'll see you next time.
3.0 Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Do snakes fart?